Hello and welcome to Speak Your Truth and Look Good Doing It podcast. My name is Camila, or as you've seen me online, Maria Camila. I'm a brand strategist, photographer, and videographer. This work is about amplifying the visibility of conscious leaders and brands who are wanting to leave this world better than they found it. This podcast is about letting ourselves be seen, both physically and spiritually, and highlighting the nuances we experience as we are growing both personally and professionally. Thank you for being here, and let's go ahead and dive in. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm delighted to have you here. To the people that are watching on video, hi, hello. I'm so happy to have you here. I'm usually not one that does a lot of podcast episodes where I just sit in front of my computer and talk like this or have the video on, but I really like how interactive video is. And an idea that it came today was that I want to have just like a podcast yap session about just the growth that I've had in life and the aha moments that I'm having. One of the things that my gym friends keep reflecting back to me in a little context, my gym friends are people that I see a lot. We literally see each other 3 days a week, sometimes four, and they're always reflecting back to me things about myself. And one of the things that they have reflected back to me is these aha moments that I'm having all the time. But I feel like I have these aha moments because this is just what happens when you are. One of the things about building a personal brand and marketing in the way that I market is that I have been taught to think in this way. I have been taught to decode what is happening and learn how to articulate it and then create marketing material with it. And so, anyways, I also really like listening to other entrepreneurs and other people and the aha moments that they're having in a certain stage in business. And so that's what this podcast episode is going to be about. And I also believe that all the lifey, mindsety things, they still matter when it comes to the work that we do with business. And I also, it matters to me that you get to know me better. And I also like expressing myself in this way. Long story short, that is the context of how this podcast episode is going to be about. So it's not going to be talking about my offer very much. It's just going to be talking about the lifey things that are going on that I want to share with you. And also, this is an outlet where I get to truly express how I really feel about things when maybe I don't really have another space, like a friend to talk to about this, or maybe there are also conversations that I want to be open about the behind the scenes of entrepreneurship. And so anyway, without further ado, I wrote a list of things that I want to talk about of aha moments that I'm having. So number one is how if you are in a state of survival at all times, this probably goes without saying, but that's really going to stunt your growth and it's really going to mess you up so hard. This is actually even beyond having a good mindset, because having a good mindset is a result of like a nervous system that feels safe. And I realized that I have been in a very like survival mode, like in a state with my nervous system where like I can't even see straight. Like, I don't even know what is up and what is down. All I know is that I can't even look up and I can't even, yeah, like I can't even look up. I can't even like think straight because I'm in such deep survival mode. And part of what ended me up in survival mode was the fact that I wasn't intentionally creating a definition of success for myself. And I think a lot of times we say we want to own our own business, but we don't really start designing our life with how it is that we really want it. And to me, that was a question that was posed to me of like what my definition of success is. And it can't just be make 200K. That is not enough. That is only one part of definition of success. And I started really getting intentional about like, what does success mean to me? And to me, success is waking up in the morning and having like a slow morning and not being in a rush. Success means living in a place that really lights me up, that I feel really inspired by, which is why I love Scottsdale and why I love the desert. And now I love like where I live now. My definition of success is also calendar space. I love having spaciousness. I do so well when I'm able to put my music on and just like do client work, edit, record a podcast. I really struggle if I were to be on calls all the time. So to me, having calendar space, it's the best. And then the other thing is, my definition of success is also like going to Utah for like a whole month and being able to see my friends and connect or even have clients there. And I was able to do that this year for the first time in like 5 years since I had moved here from Utah. And I just have to like get a moment to ground myself. That's like, dude, I just decided that I wanted to spend the rest of the summer in Utah because I'm learning with my energy type that I don't do well in an Arizona summer for too long. It does start getting to me when it's too hot, and then you just have to stay inside. And when I have a whole life, like friends and family and things to do in Utah, and that's what I was able to do this summer. And oh my gosh, it was honestly one of the best things that I ever did for myself. And the other thing that I loved about spending summer in Utah, or like a month and like 2 weeks when I was in Utah, was that I really was able to see how far I've come in my growth from when I first moved here. So like the thing is, I moved to Arizona in 2020, and maybe to some people, 2020 was a long time ago by now, but to me, 2020 felt still so recent because there were so many big shifts that happened. Like, that's when I met my business partner, who I have the Airbnb with. That's when I first moved to a whole new state. That's where I also, shortly after, started my business again. And it was just like a rebirth of this version of me that I am now. And anyways, I was able to go back home, and with all love and respect to like my people in Salt Lake. But I was just like, life in Salt Lake seems the same. It's the same culture. I'm not really missing out on anything. People are doing the same thing, going to the same bars and the same concerts with the same artists. And it's just, I know Salt Lake has grown and changed a lot, and there's like new people that come. But to me, the culture and the vibe and everything felt the same. That to me, I'm like, I'm not missing out on anything. Sometimes we think that we're missing out, or like things are changing or whatever when you move away from your hometown. But honestly, to me, I was able to be like, you know what? My horizon simply expanded. I didn't leave a life behind. I just expanded because this life in Utah is always going to be here. But even just being able to be there and being with my friends, and I had a friend use this term. She called it chicken noodle soup. And all that means is that it's just like those places when you go home and it just feels like warmth and predictable, like going home for the holidays type of thing. And that's how Utah felt. And anyway, that may be triggering to some of my friends that live there because they love Utah. And more power to you. But anyway, I was just able to go and have a contrast and really see that. Like, I even went to the apartment that I used to live in. I remember when I lived in Utah, I worked at 9 to 5. And I remember when I worked that 9 to 5 sales job, I literally thought that I was never going to quit that job. I held on to the belief that because I didn't have a college degree, that I was just done, that I had like screwed myself up, that I just had to work this lousy sales phone job that takes anybody. And I'm just gonna have to do that forever. There are no more opportunities for me because I dropped out of college. And really, that belief really kept me so small for the longest time. So, which is actually gonna lead me to my next point in regards to growth and everything. But you cannot bypass your belief system. It doesn't matter what strategy you have. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't even matter if you have like the hottest product or the best method that you have to offer the market for whatever thing you're doing. If your belief system sucks, your results are going to suck. And I'll even say with myself, one of my belief systems that I've had, considering that I'm a person that I've been consistently visible for, where I'm about to hit like 3 years of just being visible, sharing my story, doing all the things, running my business. And I've come to realize that I have had demand for my services the whole time. Maybe when I announced that I doubled my prices and I took away all of my offers besides industry outlier, maybe that was a time where like my demand really slowed down and I learned a lot about how to like don't turn away your demand or do that, but like make sure that you have enough funds to carry you through. That was probably the only time that I can see that I really screwed up my demand. But for the most part, once I fixed that problem, I have always had demand. Like, if you get on here with thought leadership and you make sure that you offer a product where there is demand. So, for instance, I know with videography, there is demand for storytelling, for personal branding, there is demand naturally, whether I like it or not. And then branding is why people choose you. So, if you can just do those things and stay consistent with your marketing and your branding, you will be all right. But you won't be all right in regards to your growth or how you feel about in your business if your belief system is a bunch of crap. And my belief system was crap, like not too long ago, real talk. My belief system was I'm never growing, things are not working, and people are not watching my stuff, or like I'm so stagnant. All these people are booked out, all these other people are being so successful, and I'm not. And I was in such trauma brain and trauma mode, and trauma mode keeps you very narrow focused. Like, you literally cannot see the beauty around you or recognize that, like, you're like drowning in a glass of water type of thing. It makes it so hard for you to see your surroundings and really see how you're cared for. Because all you can focus on is like what's wrong. And I was able to get out of the what's wrong process, thank goodness, once I manifested the apartment that I'm living in now. That was a whole process that I all I knew was that I couldn't stay in the apartment where I was at before. I had to close those doors and be done with that avenue. And I was just willing to figure it out. I'm like, wherever it is that I end up, I will figure it out. But I really wanted to move into a different environment that kept me more inspired, because I know that when I put myself in an environment that inspires me, I have no choice but to like be inspired. And I started feeling in my old apartment that it lost its luster. It's like I just outgrew it. Like, it felt so big when I had first moved to Arizona, but once after being there 5 years, it was just time to move on to the next, something bigger, something better. And I'm really proud of myself that I prepared myself to be in a position where I can now be where I'm at right now. But yeah, if your belief system isn't there, no strategy, no visibility, literally nothing is really gonna stick or will feel sustainable if you do not have a solid belief system about yourself, about the people that you're serving, or even the work, the what you're capable of, what your product is about, the impact it has in the world. Like, for example, I even realized that I don't really advertise selling five-figure offers very much, but that's something that's starting to become a normalcy, or more something that's going to be coming in my business, which essentially is a retainer offer. So, which is anywhere, 5 figures, anywhere like $10,000 and up type of thing. And in my business, that looks like a retainer offer. And in the past, there was just no way that I could even conceptualize that or like work with bigger numbers. And that's what survival mode does it. It doesn't allow for you to be creative, for you to be playful and entertaining different ideas in your business if you're always telling yourself, if you're truly not even telling yourself, but like your body's in such survival that you're not able to recognize that you're actually safe and you are okay. And to me, what helped me get out of that was shooting my shot with applying for the apartment that I really wanted in the area that I really wanted. And That is what started demonstrating to me that, oh, look at what happens when I just give myself a chance and an opportunity. And I also take aligned action when I feel like I have outgrown one place and go on to the next one. Okay, on to my next point, which is this is all connected, by the way, but I have decided right now that urgency, hard work, not enoughness, scarcity, worry, and stress are not real. I simply have just decided that those things are simply not real. They are real when you are in survival mode, but when you are present in the grounded moment, when you truly take the time to experience all of your emotions, look around, and also get yourself out of the environment that you feel like it's pushing you down and like draining your energy, trust me, life is a lot simpler, and you simply have the energy to handle more when you are present and you fill your cup with going to the places that make you feel really good. And anyways, I just decided, like, very rarely in life does urgency exist. Like, unless maybe there's like a deadline or somewhere you have to go, but honestly, even if there is a deadline, you don't really have to hurry. Like, if you have proper time management and energy management, or like the correct delegation, there really isn't a rush. And I think a lot of times, even with myself, I even operate sometimes in my life as if I'm in a rush. And then from operating with high urgency or like in fight or flight, I realize that I miss opportunities. And then I also just sometimes think to myself, I don't have enough time. And then your brain will just be so fixated on how you don't have enough time. But for example, something that's been happening to me lately is that I tell myself, oh, I totally have time. I just need to be creative with how I'm allocating my time. And I don't need to work hard, or I don't need to stress myself out if I have like all this video work that I can do. I can do it little by little, little by little, and eventually it's gonna get done. Or another thing that I learned this morning is that I've been waking up at like 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. And then I also go to the gym at like 9. So that means that I have those hours in the morning to chill. And I realized that because I don't have the identity of the person that tells herself that she has so much time or tells herself that she's a morning person, because I don't have that identity yet. I realize when I wake up in the mornings and I see, I see that I have like extra time for myself, I kind of write it off as like, oh my God, like what do I do with this extra time? Oh my, and I make it mean that I'm like, oh, it's because I didn't get enough sleep. Instead of having the reframe of like, look, this is confirmation that I do have time. I do have time. And you know what? I can do this really small task that's on my to-do list today. I can do it real quick. And one of those tasks for me today was editing a podcast episode. Literally took me like 30 minutes to do the biggest chunk of it. And then I came back from the gym and did the other like 10 minutes of the task, and boom, it was done. And usually before I would be like, oh my God, so many tasks, I don't have time. And really, it's like when you are dysregulation gets in the way of creativity. So the more regulated you are, the more that you care for yourself, then the more that you stop fighting your body being in. And she's like, for instance, when I think of my body and even me in my old apartment, my body was telling me, like, hey, we are done here. It's time for us to move on. It's time for us to go somewhere else. And now that I listen to my body, I literally love being home. I love doing work here. Like, it still feels like so expansive. It's like filling up my cup. So a lot of times your body's not necessarily working against you. There's really nothing against you here. It's simply a matter of you just gotta listen to it and ask it what it needs, whether it needs a new environment, a new relationship, a new anything. All right, on to my next one. The thoughts that you have about people will show in how you talk about them and what you're willing to help them with. If you believe that people are stupid, they can tell. I cannot tell you how often I hear entrepreneurs talk about their clients saying they're so stupid, or people are stupid. Like, if you believe that people are stupid, that's why you're not making the money you want to be making. That's why people are not sending referrals over to you. That's why you don't enjoy the work that you do. That's why you don't really like your clients. That's why you are where you are. Because if you think people are stupid, then you're going to treat them as such. Then you're going to, you're just not gonna, even in the way that you talk to them in your content, like you're just gonna be careless about your content. And I used to think this about myself in regards to my content, but I didn't have the thought or the belief people are stupid. I had the belief no one's reading my stuff. And if you have the belief that no one's watching my stuff, no one read it, then that means that you're not gonna put effort into making sure that this is good work. And the reality is that there's a lot of people that do watch your stuff. For example, I even think of like Alex Hormozi and Layla Hormozi. I was thinking about it and I was like, I see her stuff like on Threads. I see her stuff on YouTube and then I see her stuff on Facebook. And they are on my socials literally all of the time. I probably see like four or five, maybe more, honestly, maybe 10 pieces of content of Layla Hormozi in one day. And honestly, all of it is like, oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so good. But I don't find myself interacting with it that much. All I see is like, oh yeah, this is good. Oh. And I just see it as like, oh, this is like really enriching my expertise or my intellect or whatever. And but I'm not really reposting a lot of it, or I'm not really like engaging with a lot of it, because some of it is just like brain food. And not every content is meant to be engaged with. And so that's when I caught myself of like this whole, oh, people aren't watching. Yes, they are. So trust that people are watching. Trust that there's somebody out there that is ready to pay you thousands of dollars, that's ready to binge your stuff. And I'm really happy that when it comes to any service provider that I worked with, when they really put effort into their platform and making sure that it is a solid user experience, that it's creating trust for the people that are about to hand them thousands and thousands of dollars. It's really frustrating when you go to somebody's page and it's just like a ghost, or it just doesn't seem like somebody's there really caring about the work that they're doing. So, anyways, the beliefs that you have about people matter. If you think they're stupid, they can tell. That's it. So, really start cleaning up why you think people are stupid. And I also think that that's just such a condescending way of looking at clients and people that pay you thousands of dollars, that I think it's incredibly important for you to check your language and for you to check your belief system with the people that you serve. Because, like I said, again and again, if you think people are stupid, they can tell. And okay, on to my next one. Being emotionally unavailable is going to cap your income. So, this was actually inspired by a dear client of mine, Megan Kesimakis. Hi, Megan, if you're listening. But Megan is a real estate agent. And one of the things that she said, and this is from just the brand shoots, we've done two brand shoots already. And I'm really inspired by her perspective. And she's been a very successful real estate agent. But she says, I run my business very relational because buying real estate is emotional. It allows for you to have an emotional experience when we go about things in a very relational way. And then you're also able to trust me more and you're able to tell me what your goals are, so that, say, maybe like your end goal is that you want to buy a house on the mountain, which that's a very common thing in Utah, buying a house on the mountain or on the East Bench or whatever. And but if you buy a house that doesn't appreciate as much, maybe that's not in alignment with your long-term goal. Maybe it's more useful for you to buy a fixer-upper, put some work on it, because that's going to appreciate more over time, and then that's going to help you get to your big goal, which is the million-dollar house or something on the mountain. This is an extremely oversimplified understanding of why and what I understand about Megan's process and perspective, but it really inspired me with how she talks about how she goes about in her business of letting people have an emotional experience, because that is a reflection of her emotional availability. When you present as a brand that allows people to have emotions and allows people to have like their human experience, you're able to help them better. But I noticed that there's a lot of service providers or entrepreneurs out there that are simply not emotionally available. They're either too aggressive, like they think tough love is what people need, and then they're just like very abrasive. You know, like these are the things you're doing wrong, blah 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 blah. And too abra like being too abrasive doesn't create trust for people to tell you what is really going on. And you really need to know what what people are dealing with or what's really going on with them in order to help them, because that's also going to impact your longevity and your results and referrals and so on and so forth. And or another one is you simply being just like sometimes clients, what they need is somebody that can tell them, hey, I believe in you and I believe that you can do it. I believe that you can do A, B, and C. But if you're the kind of service provider that you just think people are stupid, then you're not gonna talk to them, and you're not gonna talk to them with like high belief that they can do whatever it is that they put their mind onto. Do you see how this is all coming together? That if you think people are stupid, then you're not gonna serve them at a high capacity, or that you're not gonna, like, they're not gonna rise up to the occasion also because of how, who you are being in the relationship that you're having with that client. So, again, if you are not emotionally intelligent either, or not emotionally intelligent, but emotionally, because a lot of you are emotionally intelligent, but still emotionally unavailable. And being emotionally unavailable means that you also are not willing to take certain risks or get more creative in your business by offering different things or knowing when to actually give more to a client because you know it's going to come back to you multiplied. Like, you have to have the skill of knowing how to read the room. And maybe this sounds really ambiguous, so bear with me. But all this comes down to is be a person that you really develop your sensitivity and you create a space where your clients can have emotions about the process that it is that they're going through, but also where you know how to lead people because you're also in tune with your own emotions. And I think a lot of times, this goes back to my first point. People think that they can bypass the mindset stuff, the belief system stuff, that they think that everything's just about strategy and funnels and whatever. And it's like, no, strategy is like this much in entrepreneurship. And to the people that are not watching, only listening, I'm literally putting my fingers like really close. It's like 80-20. It's like 20% strategy, 80% energetics. Who are you being? How is your energy? Like, are you walking around every day being inspired about what you're doing? Are you in service? Are you thinking about clients and how to be in service to them? And are you also being emotionally available with yourself? Do you let yourself feel like a loser? Do you self let yourself feel all of the emotions, grief, sadness, embarrassment? Look at the emotion wheel and look at that. And I really ask yourself, do I allow myself to feel all of those emotions? Because when you don't allow yourself to feel certain emotions, you are also capping your, honestly, your intelligence in general, because you get smarter the more you allow yourself to feel emotions. And I think a lot of people think that they can just learn a bunch of things on a logical level and that they can just skip their emotions. But no, skipping your emotions will really hinder your competence as a human being in this world. I wholeheartedly believe that. So, if you want to simply be better in business, do the work to heal, like really be committed to your healing in general, which is why I talk about all of this because it's all connected. And okay, on to my next one, which is this one's pretty straightforward. The more secure you are, the more it's going to repel people who aren't insecure. Yeah, this was actually really shown to me when I went to Utah that I was like, oh dang, I'm like no longer relatable to a lot of people now that I am more secure. And like now that I'm more secure, I take up more space. I ask for more things. I charge for my work. I don't just like give myself out so easily. I'm more firm and secure about who I am and like what I'm willing to give. And that can feel threatening to people that don't carry themselves in that way. And I definitely experienced that big time when I was in Utah. My next one is to be embodied means that your yeses are yeses and noes are noes. It's not just being aware of the sensations your body's having. Oh, I feel so passionate about this. Like, and I notice this because embodiment is such a big word, and I notice that there's a lot of people that work in the embodiment type of work, but they're like, I realize that people that are kind of ghosty or say like, "Hey, yeah, let's hang out on this day," and then they like don't show up, that's not an embodied choice. Or even on the day that they made that commitment, like embodiment is alignment. Embodiment is when you're like when you say you're gonna do it's being a person of your word. When you say you're gonna do something, you do it. And I realize that there's a lot of people that think that embodiment is just being aware of the sensations that your body's having or knowing how to move your body or whatever, or knowing how to read energy, but that's only half of it. If the mind is disconnected from the body, that is not embodiment. And I notice that there's a lot of people that could be a little bit more aligned. And what's interesting is that I actually didn't identify as an embodied person for a long time in my life because I didn't have enough education about it. But now that I think about it, and all embodiment is integrity. Integrity with the things that you said that you were going to do, the person you said you were going to be, truth in the things that it is that you are saying, that you are one person at all times. And I noticed that there are people that will make plans and then don't follow through with those plans or say things that they don't mean or have a really hard time with tension and confrontation or don't know how to have sophisticated conversations with tension. So, anyway, just something that I wanted to get off my chest. And my last one I already talked about, which was no strategy can bypass your belief system. If you don't have a belief system that is on board with your goals, you will miss the opportunities to truly get to the next level of earnings or whatever goal you're trying to accomplish if your belief system is simply not there. And I think that's also a mistake that I made this year because I used to do a ton of belief work when I started my business. And that's what got me momentum. And then once I got momentum, I kind of realized, like, oh, I don't need to do the mindset work anymore. Or, like, I already knew that. And then it kind of bit me in the butt with getting back into survival mode. So now I'm really cleaning up on these things about myself where it's like, oh, dang, like, belief system is everything, energetics is everything as well. And strategy is like this much. So, anyways. That concludes today's episode with podcast yap session about lifey things that I'm going through. It's incredibly important to pass on the mindset and the aha moments because it all plays a role into you being successful and like staying visible and not wanting to burn this thing down the moment that it gets hard. And really, your belief system and also how safe your body feels in that belief that you have chosen matters so much. And the energy you're choosing to tune into, whether it's an energy of scarcity or an energy of groundedness and knowing that you're taken care of, that's really going to impact your perception of your business or your life. And that can either take you to the next level or just keep you stuck, even though you actually are growing. So. Okay, if you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend. Other than that, thank you for being here, and we'll catch you on the next episode. If you have been waiting to feel ready for a brand photo shoot, you're overthinking your outfits, you're overthinking what the photo shoot should be about, you're overthinking just who you should be, whether you are ready or not to be seen in front of the camera, have no fear. I created a very short training for you. It's available on the show notes. It is very simple and easy for you to learn a little bit more about what it really takes to be brand shoot ready and when your business needs it. So if this is you, check it out. It's in the show notes.